Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Wake up to something different on Sunday mornings by joining me, Pete Evans, for Spinning Jazz. The finest in modern jazz, from hard bop to bossa nova, from Latin to soul. That's Spinning Jazz every Sunday morning at 9 on Sheffield Live. 93.2 FM.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident. To boldly go where no
man has gone before. It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
If you love new music and you want to discover the best new artists out there, then tune into The Backroom with me, Paddy. I'll be playing the best of new indie, electro, EDM and punk, and showcasing new Sheffield talent. Also music news, local and national gig guide and new album releases. So tune into The Backroom every Thursday night between 6 and 7 p.m. here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
This is Sheffield Live.
Good afternoon. This is the film show on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and on digital, and I'm Martin. Hello and welcome to the film show. A slightly different format for this week's show due to Denise being away this weekend and certain events that have taken place throughout the week. But this show is not going to follow the usual format. It's going to be pretty much devoted to Bob Dylan and Bob Dylan and cinema. So that's going to be the main thread of the show. And so we're not going to do the normal run through or gossips, apart from to announce the sad news of the passing of Dame Joan Plowright yesterday. And we'll do something more substantial next Saturday. And, of course, the incredibly sad news, one that's hit all of us who work on the film show, the passing of David Lynch, quite possibly one of the most influential film directors ever, and one that has really hit me particularly hard. And I know both Denise and everyone else who works on the show have been quite upset about it. And so we've decided that next week is going to be a special on David Lynch, celebrating the work of this great filmmaker. And We're leaving it a week also to, so that everyone who works on the show can come in and say their bit and choose some music, because there's an absolute wealth of music to choose from to play next week. And we're hoping to have a slightly extended show, maybe roll out to 2 hours, because The Brutalist is also being released next week. So there'll be a lot to fit in on next week's show. But to start with today then, there's going to be a lot of music, so it won't be our normal schedule for when we play music. It'll be coming at you left, right and centre. It will all be Dylan themed, maybe not always Dylan performed. And the key thing that I want to really emphasise here is this is about Bob Dylan and cinema. I like Bob Dylan. I like certain parts of his career. And I'm going to apologise to any Dylanologists out there if I get any details wrong in what I might say today. But I'm coming specifically from how Dylan has been represented in cinema and has represented himself in cinema. Now, Denise is not a huge Dylan fan herself, so I think she's quite glad that she's away for this week. But one of the things she said, and as most people do, it's not that they don't like his music, they don't like the sound of his voice. And Dylan has been covered enormously successfully by a number of artists throughout the years, and they've had huge hits with Bob Dylan songs. So, as the cat's away, I thought, well, if Denise is saying she wants some Dylan cover versions, well, I hope she's going to like this one. And I'm dedicating this one to Denise. I hope she has a lovely weekend. And I hope she's going to enjoy this first piece of Dylan music, which is Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man. Sleepy, and there is no place I'm going to.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me.
In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you. Take me on a trip on your magic swirling ship. My senses have been stripped, my hands can't feel the grip, my toes too numb to step. Wait only for my boot heels to be wandering. Ready to go anywhere. I'm ready for the fade into my own parade. Cast your dancing spell my way. I promise to go under it. I'm not sleepy and there is no place I'm going to. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man.
Well, how do you follow that? That was William Shatner with his version of Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man. And I don't know how I'm going to top that, actually. But that one was for Denise, and I hope you enjoyed that little bit of Shatner magic early in the new year. And I hope you all out there enjoyed it. I'll be reining things back in from there and keeping it a bit more on song. So, Dylan and cinema, his on-screen appearances have been sporadic and not always successful. And probably the first time he appeared on screen, which was seen around the world, was in D.A. Pennebaker's landmark documentary, Don't Look Back. But Dylan had been on screen before that. In fact, he had been in a BBC play back in 1963. Philip Saville, a BBC producer, had seen Dylan play in some folk clubs in New York and thought he would be used really well on screen in a drama. So Dylan was contracted by the BBC to come over to London and appear in a play called The Madhouse on Castle Street, which would be part of the Sunday night play series. And Dylan came over in December 1962, which was when he got here, he found Britain in the grip of the worst winter weather that had ever been recorded. Snowdrifts everywhere, the country grinding to a halt. And he spent a few weeks in and around London, going around lots of folk clubs. And during that time, he's said to have paid his first London concerts, well, gigs in folk clubs. And there's some arguments as to where his first one was, but the Pender of Wakefield pub near King's Cross is the one that lays claim to being the first place that Bob Dylan played in this country. Well, when they got into the studio to start shooting the to start recording the play, they found that Dylan was not very good at remembering dialogue, and they had to restructure the play. And they brought in a young actor called David Warner to do the bits that Dylan's character was supposed to have acted out. And Dylan was sort of maybe more like a Greek chorus sort of thing, of his songs commenting on the actions within the play. And he recorded, he performed four songs throughout the play. One of them, a very early version of Blowing in the Wind. And the play was broadcast in, I think it was January the 12th, 1963. Now, there was a recording of it, which was made by the Cine Film recording. And for some reason, in 1968, this was wiped by the BBC, along with countless other programmes which have disappeared, as things of episodes of Doctor Who and Dad's Army, Steptoe and Son, which are, you know, what's the phrase, lost, thought to be wiped. And it's quite strange as to why this particular play would be wiped, as by 1968, well, Bob Dylan is a world-famous rock singer, David Warner is quite a big star, but hey-ho, it's been lost since 1968. Albeit there have been valiant efforts to try and find it and broadcast it. And in 2005, the Arena documentary series on BBC did a special about the production of the play and the attempts to try and find a copy of it. Now, if you want to see this, the programme is actually on YouTube. So if you go onto YouTube and Google Madhouse on Castle Street, you will have an hour of the story of the play, the struggle to try and find a copy, and how Some audio copies have been found over the years and tried to piece those together so we can at least hear the music. So that's one to look for, and that is Dylan's first encounter with the moving image. So moving on now then onto D.A. Pennebaker's Don't Look Back, which is a black and white documentary, a perfect example of direct cinema, i.e. fly on the wall, filmmaking, a cameraman, a soundman, just recording what happens in front of the camera. And it records Dylan touring around the United Kingdom in 1965. And he did play a gig at Sheffield City Hall. One of the most famous things about the film isn't actually Dylan performing on stage. It's because the film starts off with what is probably one of the most famous pieces of rock music on screen. It is something that's been copied by many other artists, and I hope you're going to recognise it when I play the song for you now. This is Subterranean Homesick Blues.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on a pavement thinking about the government. A man in a trench coat, badge out, laid off, says he's got a bad call, wants to get it paid off. Took out a kid, did something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down. Looking for a new friend, a man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills, you only got 10. Maggie comes fleetfoot, face full of black soot, talking at the heat, put plants in the bed, but phone's tapped anyway. Maggie says a minute, say they must bust an early man, orders from the DA. Look out, kid, don't matter what you did, but walk on your tiptoes, don't tie no bows, better stay away. Wash your clean clothes, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. Oh, get sick, get well, hang around the inkwell, hang bell, hard to tell if anything is gonna sell. Try hard, get boxed, get back, ride rail, get jail, jump bail, join the army if you fail. Look out, kid, you're gonna get hit by losers, cheaters, six-time users, hanging around the theaters, girl by the whirlpools, looking for a new fool. Leaders, watch your parking meters. Oh, get born, keep warm, short pants, romance. Learn to dance, get dressed, get blessed. Tired of his success, please her, please him. Buy gifts, don't steal, don't live. 20 years of schooling and they put you on the day shift. Look out, kid, they keep it all hid. Better jump down a manhole, light yourself a candle. Don't wear sandals, try to afford the scandal. Don't want to be a bum, you better chew gum. The pump don't work cause the vandals took the handle.
There you go, Subterranean Homesick Blues, and that unforgettable image of Dylan standing there with a pile of cue cards in his hand, rushing through them in time with the lyrics, whilst Allen Ginsberg stands behind him chatting with Bobby Neuwirth. I'd always thought that was shot in the New York's Lower East Side or something, but it was actually shot on a street just behind the Strand in London. It certainly looks funky there. And the other thing about that particular piece of film was Pennebaker and Dylan made several different versions of that, different backgrounds, different places, different cue cards as well. And that one being put on the beginning of Don't Look Back is the one that everyone accepts. And it sort of thought, well, they just did it once. In a similar sort of way as one of the earliest films ever shot, the Lumiere brothers' Workers Leaving the Factory. The one that is the one that is normally shown. All of the workers leaving a factory, the Lumiere factory, and being able to, from the doors of the factory opening to everyone getting out of the factory and the doors close again, all within a minute, because that was the maximum length of film that could be put in a camera at that time. And you think, oh, that's good. And then if you look more closely on YouTube and start searching through, there are loads and loads of versions of where the Lumières shot that, and it just wasn't quite right. People didn't get out of the way in time. They weren't able to open the doors and close the doors. And this is a similar sort of thing to that very earliest piece of cinema there. Getting that version of Subterranean Homesick Blues that Pennebaker and Dylan thought was the one that really worked. The film is an extraordinary vision of Dylan at almost at his peak, where he's acerbic, he's cocky. He knows exactly what he's doing, and you can see how, however exasperated he may get by some of the questions that he's being asked, he's always in control of the situation, and he can get an inane question put to him, and he immediately throws it back to his questioner. Most famously, there's a scene filmed in Newcastle where a student comes to interview him, and Dylan absolutely just runs rings around him as the student asks these questions, which Dylan throws back at him. Say, well, why are you asking me this? I couldn't tell you what my philosophy on this, that, or the other is. And the student does go away with his tail between his legs somewhat. But it's a brilliant film, and this is Dylan acoustic all the way through here, through this tour. But all the way through it, he's, you know, wraparound sunglasses, dressed in black. He is the epitome of cool throughout the film. And if you haven't seen it, it's well worth catching up with. Pennebaker did make a film the following year, in 1966, where again he followed Dylan around on his UK tour. And that film was called Eat the Document. Some of it's in colour, some of it's in black and white. And you also see Dylan unleashing his electric sound on Britain. More of that later. But Eat the Document is a film that's quite hard to find, unless there's a bootleg copy or somewhere online you can hunt it down. But it's a lot more psychedelic than what Don't Look Back is. So moving on to maybe the next film where Dylan appears on screen, and it's a film where he's genuinely having to act. He's not playing Bob Dylan, and that was in Sam Peckinpah's Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. And in this, he plays a character called Alias, or Elias, I think, as they pronounce it in the film. And he also provides the soundtrack to the film. It's a relatively small part, as maybe Dylan's thespian skills were still not quite that well developed when it came to being on screen, but he's very, very memorable in it, in the few scenes that he's in, and he provides an absolutely brilliant score for the film. The film was beset with all sorts of problems during and after production. Peckinpah, as usual, having huge arguments with his producers and the studio, and the film was released in a version which Peckinpah did not approve of at all, with even the music being changed and adapted in ways that both Peckinpah and Dylan didn't like. The most famous piece of music from the film turned out to be a hit single for Dylan, and one of his most well-known songs, Knocking on Heaven's Door. And it takes place of a brilliant scene where James Coburn is tracking down members of Billy the Kid's gang, Billy the Kid played by Kris Kristofferson in this film, and he enlists the help of two veteran Western stars, Slim Pickens and Katie Girardeau. And during the course of the gunfight, Slim Pickens is mortally wounded. And as he sits by the river, as dusk is falling, Katie Girardeau, who plays his wife, moves towards him. And as his life ebbs away, we see the river ebbing away next to him. And Dylan's song covers over on the soundtrack in a very very emotional manner.
Take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Mama put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. That long black cloud is coming down. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, 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 knocking on heaven's door.
You're listening to The Film Show on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and on digital. And that was Bob Dylan and Knocking on Heaven's Door from his score from Sam Peckinpah's Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. We're having a stroll through Bob Dylan's career on screen. And next up is a sort of documentary stroke drama that he made during the Rolling Thunder tour of 1975, which was a huge sprawling tour across America with a huge cast of musicians. And the tour wasn't organized in the way a normal tour would be. They could just turn up and do a gig anywhere unannounced. And Dylan directed a film about this tour, and there's a lot of actual concert footage in it. There are some interviews with the band that he's playing with and Dylan himself, and there are also these like dramatic pieces of vignettes even with Dylan playing Ronaldo, his wife at the time, Sarah, playing Clara, and Joan Baez as the woman in white. And these pieces were scripted by Dylan and Sam Shepard. And the film itself is something of a sprawling mess. Well, certainly the four-hour cut that Dylan released in cinemas in 1978. It was brought back only a couple of weeks after release. It was cut down to a two-hour version, but the film didn't really resonate with audiences. And Dylan himself withdrew the film. And it's very hard to see. Very, very occasional screenings. Although a lot of the material within it has turned up in Martin Scorsese's documentary about the Rolling Thunder tour of 1975. So there are ways of seeing some of it. I've never seen any of the Ronaldo and Clara acted out sequences, so I can't tell you much more about it. apart from to go on to our next film, perhaps the nadir of Dylan's flirtation with cinema, 1987 Hearts of Fire, which is a film which you can only call a disaster. A film where supposedly an expose of the music business in the 1980s, big corporate businesses, along with eyeliner and mullets everywhere. Dylan sort of sleeps through his role as Billy Parker, a reclusive rock legend who has, for some mysterious reason, stopped performing, stopped releasing records. And somehow he goes into a bar and he sees Molly Maguire playing. Molly Maguire, played by the soon-to-be-forgotten Fiona, who is a bit of a Pat Benatar sort of wannabe sound. How Bob Dylan would have seen that, you think, well, yes, I need to get involved. I need to help make her a huge star. You can only scratch your head and wonder. But that's not all you've got to scratch your head about, because added to these two, to make a completely chemistry-free ménage à trois, Rupert Everett then appears as an English pop star, supposedly one of the biggest pop stars in the world at the time, so the script said. And it then ambles on for 100 minutes of, well, nothing much, really. Nothing really seems to happen. There is, as I say, absolutely zero chemistry between the three leads. And they just go from one gig to another. And when it all finally ends, the best you can do is shrug. However, if you want to inflict this film on yourself, you can hire it on Amazon for £2.50. If only I had an expense account for this show. And there are some quite hilarious things to look out for. Rupert Everett giving Tainted Love a really good kicking on stage. Larry Lamb turning up as a pushy concert promoter. And my favourite thing to look out for is Sir Mark Rylance, who plays Molly's bass player in a sort of slap-a-da-bass sort of way with his instrument. The film isn't like bad enough to be good. It's just terrible. And the film's director, Richard Marquand, who had made The Empire Strikes Back and Jagged Edge, died soon after the film was released. Some say it was the film that did him in. I'm not going to play any music for it, although I did download a version of Rupert doing Tainted Love. I'm keeping to Dylan music. And moving on to the Dylan's next encounter with cinema, Masked and Anonymous from 2003, which was something of a misfire, but it's interesting, certainly far more interesting than Hearts of Fire, and has a really, really great eclectic mix of music with Dylan playing half of the songs, and then almost like a panoply of world music artists doing versions of Dylan songs, and it really gives you that sense of how well Dylan songs can be used in so many different forms and genres. The film was written by Dylan and Larry Charles of Seinfeld. Curb Your Enthusiasm fame. And it's quite strange because it seems quite resonant now when you watch it. It's set in the USA of the near future, which is in a state of civil war. It seems to be like an uprising of Latin American communities, far-right communities. It really does look as though it's been filmed this week. Dylan plays a character called Jack Fate, who is yet again another reclusive rock legend, hired to front a benefit concert, which is for, well, I wasn't really sure what it was being put on for. But I'm going to give you a taste of music, because I've been talking for a bit now. One of the great cover versions from it. This is from the Turkish singer, Sertab Erener, who apparently won the Eurovision Song Contest in 2013. And this is her version of One More Cup of Coffee. You're listening to Film Show on Sheffield Live, and that was a track from the soundtrack of Masked and Anonymous, Sertab Erener's version of One More Cup of Coffee. So as I say, it doesn't all work, Masked and Anonymous, but I thought it was great fun. I enjoyed it, and there's a list of A-list stars popping up for sometimes just minor cameos within the film. Jeff Bridges is in there, John Goodman, Jessica Lange, Penelope Cruz, Angela Bassett, Bruce Dern, Luke Wilson. Sometimes the people are there for a line of dialogue and then they're off again. But most of all, Dylan seems to be looking as though he's having a bit of fun, which you could never claim he looked like when he was doing Hearts of Fire. So that's a... If you haven't seen it, I'd give it a go if you're in a Dylan mood. Then in 2007, we had Todd Haynes' experimental attempt to put Dylan on screen. And he does so by using a number of different actors playing different versions of Dylan, and sometimes not playing Dylan at all, to give an idea of the breadth of Dylan's character and the way that he is an enigma. He is unknown. He makes himself unknown. And if you think going back to the interviews that he conducts with journalists in Don't Look Back, he's never really answering anything. He's always throwing the questions back. And it's and it completely befuddles journalists and interviewers that are asking him these things. And it just keeps him mysterious. Always there's a mystery surrounding him. You never really know what's actually going on in Dylan's mind. And there are... Haynes then weaves these six different timelines and actors in between his stories to create this, it's like a collage almost of Dylan. And he uses Christian Bale, Marcus Carl Franklin, Richard Gere, Heath Ledger, and Ben Whishaw. And most famously, Cate Blanchett plays Dylan when he goes electric at the Newport Festival. I think it's a great film. It is a very, very dense film. There's so many references and in-jokes and to Dylan, his music, his life. I couldn't catch all of them after watching it, and even watching it with the director's commentary, there was still stuff there that was going way over my head. But it's a beautifully deep film with a great love and respect for Dylan and his work. But one of the other actors in it contributes to the soundtrack, and that is Charlotte Gainsbourg, who plays a character who's something of a composite of Dylan's first wife, Sarah, and Susie Rotolo, the woman who appears with Dylan on the cover of the freewheeling Bob Dylan. And this is Charlotte Gainsbourg's version of Just Like a Woman.
See her again. Nobody.
You're listening to The Film Show on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and on digital. And that was the sublime Charlotte Gainsbourg with Just Like a Woman from the soundtrack of Todd Haynes' I'm Not There. So the reason I've done all this today has been because James Mangold's biopic of Bob Dylan, A Complete Unknown, opened in cinemas yesterday. And there's been a lot of good word about it. It seems to be being nominated for just about everything, awards-wise. And I went to see it yesterday. And, well, the film covers just a certain, very specific portion of Dylan's career from 1961 to 1965. And so it's Dylan establishing himself as a folk singer, becoming enormously popular, and suffering from the pressures that are being put on him to keep to what he does, to do what pleases his audiences, and leads to what is one of the most famous transitions of an artist's work in rock music, where Dylan decides to go electric in 1965 and completely splits his fan base for those who want to go with him on this new way into music, or those who insist that he stays within the folk music community. Timothy Chalamet plays Dylan and sings all the songs, plays guitar on the songs. And I've been a bit sort of ambivalent about Chalamet up until now, but he is really, really good in this. And I can't wait to watch it on Blu-ray so I can put the subtitles on and I can just work out everything he's saying through his mumbled dialogue. But it's very, very authentically Dylan, the way he carries himself, the way he speaks, and the way he sings. It's a truly grandstanding performance. And alongside him, Edward Norton plays Pete Seeger, the folk musician who initially took Dylan under his wing and introduced him to the folk scene in New York. Elle Fanning plays an artist based very much on the Susie Rotolo, and although she's called here Sylvie Russo, she is a composite again of Susie Rotolo. And Monica Barbaro plays Joan Baez, and I think it really should be said, although Chalamet's had an awful lot of coverage for doing his own singing and playing, Barbaro sings all her stuff as well, and she recreates the sound of Joan Baez in an incredible fashion. This beautifully clear, clean sound of a voice that cuts through the more rougher vocals, let's say, of Dylan. But then there are some beautiful duets that the pair do during the film. So it's beautifully shot. It looks not $1 million. It looks millions of dollars. And there are things about it that I quite enjoyed. That it didn't take any easy answers. It's protagonist with Dylan. It's a warts and all portrayal of him, of someone who maybe wasn't always completely loyal, wasn't always completely trustworthy, but had a vision for what he wanted. And it also shows up again that thing that he's chameleon like. He changes in his clothing, in his hair, in what his musical tastes are, and he's forever changing, developing, evolving. And I think you could say that right up until now. You're never quite sure what Dylan might do next, and he's still out there touring to this day. I think he's 83 this year, and he's still on this never-ending tour, which has been going now since the late 1980s. So I really, really did like it. So one of the other things I liked about it is that the depiction of Pete Seeger in this, Edward Norton's performance is really superb, and he's not an actor that I always like. And the thing that could be quite worrying about it is that it could be very easy for the film to treat Pete Seeger and the folk audiences as, you know, jumper-wearing vegetarians and vegans and what do they know about music? But it gives really does a great deal of respect to folk audiences, I found, and it didn't take some easy knocking of them because Dylan is now a rock artist. And it, I found that a beautiful way of telling the story and not demonising or ridiculing any part of what other musicians were doing around Dylan. So the film does sort of combine some characters and combines events, and probably most famously, and is the where the film, what the film ends on, is his performance at the Newport Jazz Festival in 1965, where he first unleashed Dylan being electric. Going down quite badly with a large section of the audience. And the film then compresses here a very famous incident that went on in this country during his 1966 tour. And it was always said that this event took place at the Royal Albert Hall concert. It was actually the Manchester Free Trade Hall concert, where famously a member of the audience yells Judas at Dylan. And in the film, this happens at the Newport convention and sort of wraps everything up nicely. And I don't mind that at all, you know. That's what you have to do in compressing these sorts of events in a film like this. And almost as a harbinger of what's to come is the last things you see in the film is Dylan on his motorbike. And of course, when he returns from his 1966 tour, and after he's gone electrics, where he has a near fatal motorcycle accident and disappears for quite a long period of time while he's recuperating, and again going on to the next phase of what he will be as a musician. So I'm going to end with a piece of Dylan music. I'm going to play that Judas moment and from the Manchester Free Trade Hall concert. If you want to see it, it is available on the Martin Scorsese documentary No Direction Home, and there is the entire performance of Like a Rolling Stone in the extras of that particular film. So I'm wrapping it up for today. I hope you've enjoyed this saunter around the world of Bob Dylan. I do recommend you go and see A Complete Unknown. I thought it was a terrific film. And if you listen closely, you might just hear what Bob says to the band. Hope you're all there for next week. Enjoy your films.
I don't believe you. You're a liar.
There's no religion on your own.